Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that you too may have sons and daughters. So this is maybe not appropriate for all of you, but you get the point. Increase in number, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. And this for me is the key verse. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And then verse 10, it says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Okay, so get this picture. They have this perfect country. It's a country called by God, Israel. God loves Jerusalem. God loves his people, the Israelites. And now another king comes and he destroys their city. He destroys their country and he takes all of them captive into a city that Revelation calls the mother of all prostitutes. Hectic. You don't want that as a label for George or any other city. So now you have the city of God, Jerusalem. You have the nation of God, the Israelites, and they are taken captive into the city called the mother of prostitutes. And Jeremiah is giving a prophecy and he's saying, you know what? In this evil country, you must seek the prosperity of this country. And if you seek the prosperity of this country and pray and the peace, you will also prosper and you'll also find peace. And now we're going to look at a guy who actually did exactly this. His name is Daniel. Who of you are Daniel in the house? It's the Daniels you saw. Dan, is that Daniel? There's a Daniel. Yes, there's a Daniel. Okay, this sermon is for you, Daniel. More Daniels. You're going to live it out. Kanye is also a Daniel. Eh? Is that you? Okay, that's awesome. So I want you to go to the book of Daniel. And we're going to go through a couple of verses. Okay, the first verse that we're going to read is Daniel 1 verse 4. It says that this king Nebuchadnezzar, he sends out his people and he tells them, hey, get me the best young guys from this Israel nation because I want to use them, misuse them, abuse them. That's actually what he says. And then he says in Daniel 1 verse 4, he says the following. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, because now you can start seeing faces, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them language and literature of the Babylonians. So the first thing that I want you to note is these guys, they studied hard. As the Israelite, they studied hard. They did this homework. They were well-schooled. They were well-trained. They were disciplined. So think of yourself now. You want to go somewhere, you have this dream, and you study hard, and you work hard, and you train yourself, you train your body. And then the promotion God gives you is another country comes and takes your city captive, and they put you in exile, and they place you in the palace of the king of this mother of all prostitute city. That's hectic promotion. Like, you don't know if you're going to live. You have trained yourself. You've educated yourself. You have lived for this dream to be really well-known, successful as an Israelite. And then this happens. So it doesn't look like promotion to me. But what do they do? Even further, four friends. They also get drawn into this program of discipling them into the Babylonian culture. Four of them. And the Daniel, he actually gets a name. It's called Belshazzar. And his name means, may God Bel protect the king. So if you're a Hebrew guy, your name means a lot to you. It actually has a meaning. So now, they take you into another country and they give you a blasphemous name. They say your name means the other king that you don't serve, that don't exist, that's actually just a demon. He needs to protect that king that you are serving. That is like a blasphemous thing. Dis godslasterlik, net die naam wat jy kry. Every time people call you that name, it's blasphemy unto God. So this is the kind of context that Daniel and his friends finds himself in. Dis erg, dis slegte goed wat daar gebeur. And what do they do? How do they, like that scripture says, how do they pray for peace? How do they seek prosperity for that city? How do they do that? And the answer is, they serve. May some of you sitting here, you have a difficult teacher. Some of you sitting here, you have a difficult parent or parents, or you feel they're difficult. They may be not that difficult. It's just your perception of them. Some of you have a difficult coach. Some of you are really in a difficult situation. But it's nothing like Daniel. And then what do? They serve. And it says here, when they were tested, Daniel 1:20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. Because of their service and their devotion to God, the king were like, wow, these guys, these Christian guys, I love them. They're 10 times better because they have excellence about them. So think the worst place that you can find yourself and you're just grinding it out. You're just grinding. You're just serving. You're just loving people. And then this very bad, evil king, he's like, wow, you're doing an amazing job. And then what happens in chapter 2? This king has a dream. He calls all his magicians, all the people that are very spiritual and supernatural. He calls them together and he tells him, hey, I had this dream, for I forgot the dream. Can you maybe tell me the dream? And like, that's not how it works. You tell us the dream and we will interpret the dream. That's how we do stuff. He says, okay, if you can't tell me the dream, I'm going to tore you apart limb by limb. This is the kind of king. This is the kind of boss that you're serving. This is the person that you're just afraid you're going to die. Every time something happens, when your bed is not made up, you feel you're going to die because somebody's going to come in and say, hey, why is your bed not made? It's bad. Most of you don't have that kind of house. Okay? Your mom still do your bed, or if you look, your wife does your bed. Because that's what he made a promise at his wedding. So that's a good thing. Take a note from Luke. So, and Daniel says, whoa, 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 I don't want to die. I'm going to ask God. So he's like, hey, no, I can't die. I'm going to ask God. God, I'm afraid. I've done all of this, and this is the place that you've sent me to for my promotion, this evil boss. And he prays to God, and God gives him the dream, and he gives him the interpretation. And then at the end, in Daniel 2:47, this king, after he gives him the interpretation, this king makes a statement. He says, surely your God is the God above all gods. So imagine you living in that very difficult situation. You not with your friends at all. People they just blaspheming the name of Jesus. They're doing all kinds of ugly stuff. But you're just serving Jesus. You're just praying for them. You're just loving them. You're just doing what you need to do. And then in the end, you get opportunity and you share what God told you. And then the guy's like, you know what? Your God is the God above all gods. Because it's impossible for you to know that kind of information. Then chapter 3, this is even a more crazy story. Just, okay, so now think they're in Babylon and they're just doing all these things. So now this king, he just loves himself, so he builds a golden statue. They need to bow down to the golden statue. So the Daniel's three friends, they don't do it. And so they have to be sent, thrown into a furnace, like a wind. And what happens? A fourth person appears, an angel appears in the wind, in the oven. And they're like, hey, these guys are not burning at all. They just, what's happening? There's a fourth person, there were only three. They're not burning at all. So they open the oven, the furnace. What happens? The guys who opened the oven, they die immediately. But Daniel and his friends, they just walk out there, la, 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 la. We knew this. We knew God will come through for us. They're serving, they're praying, they're just following what God told them. They're just obedient, and God just honoring their obedience. One miracle after another. Then chapter 4, it's the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He's speaking, go and read it. And Daniel gives him interpretation to a dream and says he's going to become like a crazy animal. He's going to eat grass and stuff. And then at the end of that dream, of that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, he gets saved. He's like, Daniel's God is the only God. Okay, this is a massive turnaround. And this, for me, is one of the most important things, or the most important promise of a life of just serving people, is that people eventually will get saved because of your selfless service, even amidst difficult circumstances. It's like you going to North Korea and Kim Jong-un, you know him? To say that, Kim Jong-un. You have to, wait. Okay, it's not good enough. Let's do it. Kim Jong-un. Okay? He's like, I don't know what they call them, the president, the king of North Korea. The other day, he executed his uncle. It's like him, you going into North Korea, and you're like, oh God, I'm going to serve. It's like Kim Jong-un in the end of his life saying, you know what, Jesus is Lord, and it's all over the news. SABC even has it covered. That's the kind of miracle that happened here. Why? Because 1, 2, 3, 4 friends start serving in a very evil country. Even they were called names. They just did what they were called to do. And they were following. And then in chapter 6, There's another king, Konung Darius. We all know this story. So he wants to appoint. He's the king of Media, so he's appointed in the kingdom of in the kingdom where Daniel was one of the ministers. And then it says this about Daniel. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Okay, so now this Daniel is just serving. He's just serving. And this king, the next king, it's not Nebuchadnezzar, it's not his son, the next king. They're like, wow, this guy is amazing. There's an excellent spirit about this guy. He wanted to appoint Daniel over the whole kingdom. And what happens is there are a couple of guys that don't like it at all. And listen to what they say. Verse 5. And then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Now imagine you're in an evil country and people are like, man, I don't like this guy. I can't find anything wrong. His integrity is intact. He served. He's excellent in his job. He's on time for his meetings. He just loved people. He always has a smile on his face. He's always positive. He's always thinking and not living for himself. He is unselfish. Imagine your worst enemy saying that about you. Because that's who they were. They didn't like God. They didn't like Daniel. And because of his excellent spirit, because of him just serving. And I know there's so many of you, and I would love to tell all the stories of people just serving. And in the beginning, they didn't like this person, but the guy, he just served. And eventually, like, man, if I'm going to give this person the job, he's going to do it in such an excellent way. I'm just going to give him everything. Yes, and he's even allowed to preach to the people that he serves, even though I don't believe that the God that he believes exists. Why? Because they see the kind of work that he produces. I think it's something we miss so many times. Is we want to start with a Nebuchadnezzar getting saved. That's where we want to start. But God took Daniel through a whole process. He said, hey, okay, now just in your country, study. Listen to your parents. Okay, go do this now. Start making your bed. Okay, wake up earlier. Okay, just do it in an excellent way. Pray. Pray to me for supernatural guidance. And what happens? Nothing. His enemies, his worst enemy, can find nothing wrong with him. I would love for all of us to be in that spot. I love for myself to be in that spot. The neighbor's like, wow, Armour is so amazing. His kids are perfectly under control. They never scream. Or he never screams at his wife. There's nothing wrong. But unfortunately, I don't think the neighbor's going to say that. Because children are all over the place. But that's part of the game. It's part of life. They love being outside and screaming at each other. And Eva, one year ago, like, she went through this time where she would just go outside and just say, Jesus, the whole time. So at least they got the gospel through a noise. But anyway, so this is where we want to get to. We want to be servants of people. Bible's at this guy who, I think it was at a seminary, he said, okay, let me give you a challenge. I think it was for 7 days or for a month. Try and serve everybody that you come across. When you want to go for a coffee, look if there's nobody else that wants coffee, and rather take your coffee and give it to that person. Or try when you're home with your family, try and eat last because you want to serve everyone else before you start. And then you do that for a month. And then you ask yourself after that month, are you worse off or better off? So that's the first month. The second month, you just live for yourself. You just go like, I don't care about you. Can I grab your cup of coffee? Eh? Will you buy me the next cup of coffee? Hey, please, man, I'm just gonna stay there. You can do all my hard work. I'm gonna leave early because even if I need to do some stuff, I'm gonna leave early because I don't wanna do the cleanup afterwards. And then see after that month how you feel about yourself. Although you're going to be focused on yourself, you're going to be much more worse off. Why? Because the moment we start serving, we start modeling Jesus. And the moment we start modeling Jesus, the Holy Spirit feels so welcome in us because he felt welcomed in Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is with us, then the whole of the kingdom is with us. Then you start flowing in the supernatural. Then my idea for people to get out of a wheelchair is not so that I can look good, but it's really because I have compassion for that person, because I want to serve that person like Jesus served that person. That's where we need to get to. That's where we need to get to. And if you, maybe you here and you've never been a leader in school, you've never been a leader, just serve the people, you're going to become the leader. Maybe not in a year, maybe not in 2 years, maybe not in 5 years, but in 10 years' time, you'll be the leader. Why? Because God honors servant leaders. So what do we learn about Daniel? He was a servant amidst difficult circumstances. Don't complain about your circumstances. Don't complain about your boss. Don't complain about your coach. Don't complain about... Just Just serve. Hey, what do you want to do? How high must I jump? Okay, let's jump that high. Because if you serve people, you're going to win their hearts. Like there are some people in the church, if they call me 2 a.m. at night, and they say, Omo, I need you for 3 more hours, I'm going to go like, yes, I'm going to be there. Why? Because they are servants. Not only servants of this church, but they are servants of Jesus Christ. I'll do that. Like Leon and Hanukkah over there. If they call me 2 o'clock at night, I'll just go over to their house. Why? Because they are servants. They are serving people. Because the moment you start serving, you win people's hearts. And you have access to their hearts. And why do you want access to your hearts? Because you want to introduce Jesus. You're like, heart door open. I'm going to serve the hell out of you. There's no hell anymore in you. And then you go like, Jesus, why didn't you tell me about Jesus earlier? And they're like, dude, I was trying to show you Jesus all the time. You didn't want to listen. You were just swearing all over me and just not giving me a chance. Serve, 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 even amidst. We're not called to even to have to, for people, if people don't tell you thank you, just serve them again. If you're a leader, you need to thank people all the time. It's so important. Just thank people for doing the stupidest little task that you don't even think of. Just thank them. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Even if somebody, because you pay them, they need to do this, you go, you know what? I know I pay you for this, but I just so appreciate your effort with me. If you're a school kid, if you go to your teacher after every class, it's like, wow, you love maths, and I really appreciate the way that you communicate maths. If you do it once, they're probably going to go like, you're right, what do you want? But if it becomes a lifestyle, they're going to know you as that person. Because we love appreciative people. We love that. We love that. Like I thank Yodia for just walking out. Thank you, Yodia. Just be thankful and serve. Okay, he was a servant amidst difficult circumstances. Don't complain about your circumstances because God's going to turn them around. And then prayer and excellence goes together. Like Daniel was a guy of prayer, and he prayed and he was excellent in his work. Sometimes we just want to work, sometimes we just want to pray, but we need to do both. You need to pray, pray, pray for your people, pray for your job, pray for your dreams, pray for your rugby team, pray for your school, pray, pray, pray. And then you need to study hard, you need to train hard, you need to be the best in your business, you need to be excellent in your work, you need to do both. That's what Daniel, that was how he modeled it. And then the third thing is he didn't compromise. Like, he was not allowed to pray, and he prayed. He was not allowed to pray, and he prayed. Why? Because he knew where his power would come from. And then the last thing is his identity was royalty. And for me, this is a very important thing. If you look at Daniel 1 verse 3, it says that Daniel was chosen from royal family or people from a noble family. So his identity was royalty. He was a king. He was a koning. So if you're a king, if you know that you're a king, doing the job of the servant, does that make you a slave? No. If you know you're a king and you go and wash urinals at a school that doesn't maybe have enough money to pay people to clean that, what does it make you? It makes you a pipi reikende koning, but you're still a king. If you go to a place and you love on somebody that's abusive because they've never received love and they're just testing you out, they're stealing your cell phone, they're stealing your clothes, they're just stealing everything, just abusive in their words, and you're like, man, I can't handle this anymore. What are you giving up? You're giving up your royalty. If you're going to serve people, if you're going to love people, you will be abused in some point because that's what happened to Jesus. They abused him. It's not like you want to have that. It It's not, you have to have strong boundaries and get people around you. Get, like, come and speak to me or come and speak to Luke. But if you're going to help people, if you're going to serve people, people are going to know, like, oh, he's the servant. Let's give the job to him. They're going to abuse you. And sometimes you need to learn to say no. But most of the time, just say yes, because there's an opportunity to get into their hearts. And then the last thing that Daniel got right is in chapter 9, it says that he was reading the scripture that I was reading in the beginning. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And he was reading about the scripture and praying about the scripture. And he said, okay, God, you promised us it will only be 70 years in Babylon. Only 70 years. So now I've served. I've taken a few punches on the chin. But you promised 70 years and we're gone. We're out of this. I'm going to step into this authority now. And I'm going to claim it. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to serve my nation. So what happens? Daniel was a servant. He was excellent in everything he did. He prayed. And then he had the platform to save a nation, to call God's promises into being. And that's one of the greatest things that happen when you're just a servant, is that God will start talking to you about the people that you are serving. I remember when I came to George, it's like God was starting to talk to me about this congregation, because I knew I had to serve this congregation, and God will always give promises to the people you serve. God's been giving promises to me about my family, about every child, every one of them. And now, but as you start serving this George, you're like, wow, God's giving promises about George. And the more you serve, the more these promises become so real. And you're like, God, let it happen. This morning, a guy came after this service and he said, Amo, this thing that you have been praying for, God says, it's happening. And I know what it means. I know it. I'm getting excited, like Daniel's getting excited when he read 70 years in Babylon. Why? Because it's not that I'm this amazing servant. You can ask my wife and all this amazing servant. But I know, and I have a love for people, and a love for the city, and I have a love for South Africa. I want to serve. I want to have my love for the city and for this nation must grow to a point where I can't sleep at night, because I just want to pray the promises of God into this nation. Amen. I want all of you to join me. I'm actually so sad we only found out that it's a holiday for schools tomorrow, only like last week or the week before last week. Else we could have said, okay, let's do a whole night prayer thing. Because I think this town needs prayer. And I think we need to pray more. But we're not going to do it because your moms and your parents and everybody and your wives are not going to be happy with us. Hey, James. Okay, great. Okay, let's stand.